this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And today we are talking to a multi-platinum recording artist who was not only famous for his face on television back in 2012 when he won the X Factor, but also number one, number two on the charts in the UK consecutively with releases early on in his career. Quite famous around the world. We're glad to have James Arthur on the show today. Hello.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going all right. Welcome to our program. Welcome to the Voice of America, which is kind of like, you know, America's version of the BBC, the Beeb.
Yeah.
So we're glad to have you on. And I was looking at your life story, and I find, you know, you have quite an interesting story. You lived in Bahrain for a while.
Yeah, around the age of about nine, I think it was, my mom remarried, and we spent, yeah, like two and a bit years in Bahrain. Maybe it was a little bit longer. It was a bit of a blur now, but yeah, it was such a cool thing to experience as a kid, because I'd been used to sort of like working class England up until that point, and I got to see a completely different culture. And then, of course, when I came back a couple of years later, it really just gave me a new perspective, and I felt, you know, much more open to different kind of communities and things like that, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Are you in Germany now? I know you're going to be in Germany if you aren't already there.
I'm not in Germany right now. I'm actually at home in London, but just outside of London. I've just got back from Germany, and I'm heading back there again for the start of my world tour. Yeah,
that's great. For the new album, Bittersweet Love, which is your fifth studio album, we'll talk more about that during the interview as well. Now, coming from London, having performed in London, growing up in London, and sometime in Bahrain, and then the U.S. and touring in the U.S. as you have, what's the difference between London and the U.S.? A lot of people around the world want to know that, because we are on the air in 100 different countries worldwide right now.
Yeah, well, I actually didn't grow up in London. I grew up in the northeast of England in a place called Middlesbrough, which is, even more, you know, again, a culture shift from London. London's a big, thriving, multicultural city, whereas I grew up in a very kind of working class Britain type, you know, it's below the poverty line, you know, not much going on. And then moving to London I think I was about 23 when that happened. I just won the X Factor, so my label and everything were in London, and I've been here for about 10 years now. And so I call London home now, because I've been here for such a long time. You know, been lucky enough to spend a lot of time in America as well, which is feels a bit like my spiritual home. I feel like I've got some great fans over there.
Now, you're one of the very lucky few who have gone, you know, on a television singing contest show and then immediately having success. I mean, right when you came out, the very first single you released went to number one in the UK. And, you know, I mean, were you prepared for that? Were you ready for the fame that kind of came your way quickly?
No, absolutely not. It happened too quickly to prepare, really. It was bizarre, yeah. Obviously, when you enter something like the X Factor, or, you know, obviously in America you've got Idol and all those things. I suppose it's quite similar. The rise to fame is almost overnight, so no chance to prepare for that. Really, just had to kind of embrace the uncertainty and just roll with the punches. And of course, quite publicly struggled in the early years. It's well publicized that I got dropped from my record label, and I found it very hard to adapt to fame and the scrutiny that comes with all of that. So yeah, it's taken me a while to kind of readapt and figure it all out. But it's been a crazy ride, man.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I mean, you've managed to turn things around, and you've come up from dark place. I know you wrote a book and you told your story, and you've come up from a dark place, but you've managed to figure it all out, and you're now a UK mental health ambassador.
Yeah. You know, having sort of hit rock bottom and, you know, I kind of gone as low as I could have gone. One of the biggest lessons and takeaways from that period of time was just how important speaking about your mental health was. And I didn't even know how to do that. I just remember trying for the first time to explain what I was going through. It saved my life, you know? And so I realized how profoundly important speaking about your mental health was. And so, you know, as much as it's difficult for me to be an ambassador and to talk about my traumas and things like that, I feel a duty as someone who actually has seen the strength of that. You know, I feel a duty to help other people with my experience.
And you are a role model. There are young people, young kids all around the world who look up to you. So if somebody's going through a tough time, what was the best advice you got, or the best advice you'd want to give them?
I think one of the you know, the main things for me is that you know, was acceptance. You know, I think I was somebody that was fighting against people's perception of me. My perspective of the world was very skewed and negative, and I was, you know, struggling to find my way. And I think, yeah, just the sooner you get to acceptance, the sooner you get to a place of better mental health. And of course, you need to invest in your community and your family, and those things are really important, as well as therapy and medication. You know, be part of your community and invest in them and talk to people, because it can really help.
Mm-hmm. And you got into music. Why? Was it because your dad was a DJ, or what was it that inspired you to want to be in music?
Yeah, both my parents were big music lovers, so I was fortunate enough to be hearing great music when I was very little, and I guess it rubbed off on me. And a lot of it began because I was trying to, probably attention seeking, you know, trying to get my mum and dad's approval with my singing. And my mum and dad were very, they lived separately because they divorced before I could remember. But like, my dad was playing great, you know, rock bands and like an eclectic bunch of rock music. He's a big heavy metal fan, Black Sabbath and The Who, and just great, great music, a lot of American music actually. And then my mum was playing, you know, Elvis Presley and David Bowie and like just the greats. And so, yeah, I think I just absorbed a lot of that. And as I say, it was a way for me to get my mum's approval and stay in her good books to be singing and stuff. So, yeah.
And at some point, doesn't it become about the girls, less about the parents' approval, more about the girls? Isn't that what it's all about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Without doubt, man. Yeah, I remember when I realized that I wasn't going to be a professional footballer, and that you know, I was getting attention from the chicks and all that kind of stuff. I realized, yeah, this is a good way to go.
Which kind of leads me to the next question: what's your favorite part of this business? Is it the songwriting? Is it the singing? I guess you produced mostly all the tracks on the new album yourself. I mean, which part of this business drives James Arthur the most?
It's just getting better at my craft. You know, I work hard at my craft. I want to be, you know, I want to be as good as I can be. This is my purpose, to make music and to connect with people and help connect people. And so, yeah, I just want to get to a place where, you know, I guess I'm respected as a singer songwriter and as a guy that makes music. Really, that's genuinely my ambition.
And I guess you're now a member of the Billion Streams Club. Yeah. Could you ever fathom a billion of anything?
I don't even know what that means, man. Like a billion. have you ever seen a billion anything? I don't know. It'd probably fill a large space. Yeah. At this point, you know, those kind of numbers are way bigger than me. And that song that has managed to achieve a good chunk of those streams has surpassed anything I could have ever imagined. So I'm very proud of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about Bittersweet Love, the new album. How is this different from the previous four albums you've put out?
Well, I feel like I'm finally at a place where I 100% trust myself as an artist and as, you know, as someone who produces music. My previous records are, you know, of course you're always learning, always evolving and progressing. But I look at my previous albums and think, you know, that's definitely someone who's in development. Whereas I feel like this is the first album where I feel as accomplished as I could be. And it feels like the beginning of a few records where I'm really going to have a lot of fun, like, you know, showing people what I can do.
Mm-hmm. And the first song you put out was Impossible. Then, of course, your mega hit, Nobody, You're Nobody Till Somebody Loves You. And the hits have just come on and continued since that time. And so I'm very excited for the new album. You have a tour as well. It's an American tour, North America tour.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be traveling around North America, and hopefully there'll be many more tours like that coming up. But yeah, I'll be all over North America touring the brand new album, which is out on the 26th of January. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Now, so you grew up in a house with four sisters and a brother. Are there others interested in music too, or just you?
Yeah, four sisters. My brother lived in a different city, but yeah, I lived in a house full of girls, and they've all got eclectic. They're very much a cross section of people. They like lots of different things, but they're all very supportive of my music. And what's cool is I don't make just one style of music, and I can make something for each one of my sisters, and they'll appreciate it. Which is cool.
Have you worked with them? Have you, or do you run your music by them? Or
yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I'll always play them a bunch of music at the end of the writing process and try and get a gauge. When I'm trying to pick my albums, usually I'll play them to my sisters because they're all so different. If they all agree on, you know, the same songs, then it helps me to decide which I should put on the record.
You have a very unique voice, a very, very familiar voice, and it's a great voice, of course. Did Simon Cowell give you any advice when you were on X Factor? Did he have it? Did any of the judges say anything that resonated?
Yeah. They did. I mean, you know, mainly the advice, which was perfect advice, was just to stay as authentic as possible, just to be myself. And they didn't want to really touch what I did, really. They felt like, you know, they gave me free rein to run with whatever I wanted to do, and that was the best thing that they could have done for me, because you know, I managed to win that competition.
And you bought keyboards, I see, with winning the competition.
Yeah.
You got
yeah.
quite a collection of keyboards going on there at home.
And I can't play any of them, so.
I highly doubt that. James sure. Arthur is our guest. I love your name. You've got two first names. I love it. James Arthur. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
And you were a footballer, I guess, growing up, and you thought about it as a career, but then you turned to music.
Yeah, I'm still a footballer in my head. You know, I still play football regularly. That's my other passion in life. I absolutely love football and sports in general, UFC and boxing. Yeah, football was my first love. I really thought I was going to be a soccer player.
Right. Are you a Manchester fan? Is that or?
No, I'm a Middlesbrough fan, and I also support Glasgow Rangers, which is my dad's team. So as a young lad, my dad supported Rangers, and I felt like I needed to support them as well. But I lived in Middlesbrough, so it was I kind of had two teams. I still have two teams.
a sports guy, James Arthur. Bittersweet Love is the name of the new album. And are there any collaborations? Have you done any collaborations?
I have. The collaboration that I've the big one that I've done is not going to be featured on the album. So we're going to do that thing of, like, you know, putting it out after the album so that it has its own moment to shine. But there's no features on this album other than what I just mentioned, which will be part of a different kind of version of the record, I think.
Yeah, and it says you've got a 1970s vibe going on. You're mixing a bunch of different styles and sounds.
Yeah, I'm very inspired by the 70s and again, like, Americana music. And I think this album has, you know, has a lot of like Juno sounds and things like that, synth sounds that are from the 70s and 80s. And obviously, my style, as you can see, I've got a mop on my head, which is reminiscent of those times. And yeah, just like the whole thing has a bit of a flavor, a bit of a throwback flavor, like Springsteen and those kinds of things, you know. Yeah.
If you're stuck on an island for the rest of your life and you can only bring one song, what's the song you're bringing?
Oh, that is a great question. What is the song I'm bringing? Oof, wow. Incredible question. God, what would I pick? I mean, I don't know. If I'm on an island, maybe I want something pretty chilled. Oof. Put me on the
It's
spot.
probably too big of a question to ask,
It's way too much.
especially to ask a musician. What song would you bring?
What about Gangster's Paradise?
There
Coolio,
you go. That's
let's
it.
go.
That works. That works. Obviously, a man after my own heart who loves the 70s. We've got James Arthur with us here on Border Crossings. What a thrill it is to have you on. I've been a fan. So I'm glad that you have turned everything around and the new album is out and you're on a world tour. It's actually the Bittersweet Love World Tour.
Yeah.
And but you will be playing in America as well. You've got some dates in North America. Where do people go if they want more information on your tour or they want to connect with you? Where would they go?
Yeah, I mean, check out my socials, which is typically at James Arthur 23, and all the links will be there. But my website is jamesarthurofficial.com, and you can get tickets from there direct, or at least you will be directed to the ticket sites. But I think tickets are running low, so you gotta get out there and buy them as quick as possible.
Yes, well, before they're all gone, I mean, you got to get them. James Arthur on his world tour, the Bittersweet Love World Tour, the name of the new album. Now, I've seen some tats on your fingers. I've seen some artwork going on the hands. What's the story?
Yeah, look, I love body art. Yeah, I'm pretty covered. I'm
Oh, you're
pretty
all
covered,
covered.
head to toe, back, chest, yeah, legs. I started when I was quite young. I started when I was, probably like 16, 17, which I would not advise, obviously. I would wait till you're a bit older and you can form, your own. It's more sensible decisions, choices. But yeah, I suppose, if there's a job that you can have a lot of tattoos in, it's the one that I have, which is music. I'm not rolling into any offices anytime soon. So,
Well,
yeah.
before I let you go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to say whatever it is you want to say to the worldwide audience, millions and millions of people, 100 countries, or Japan, the Middle East, Africa, Asia. So you're being broadcast all around the world, and what's your message? What do you want to say?
You know, I just want to say, first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone that supports me and follows me, and really and truly, this might sound like a shameless plug, but this album that is out on the 26th of January, available everywhere, is my proudest work, and I would love everybody to give it a shot. It needs to be listened to as a whole piece, and there's a real journey there, and it's the best of me so far, and keep rocking with me.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to listen to the album. Bittersweet Love is the name of the new album. James Arthur, thank you for being on the show. You're watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.